Welcome everyone to our podcast in political communication. We are going to be talking today about Slovakia with a political communicator, Martin Brúška. But first, let me introduce the hosts. We have Jasmine here.
Hi.
We have Balázs from Hungary.
Hi.
And my name is Matej, and I'm from Slovakia. And talking about Slovakia, Slovakia is currently in a very interesting political context. We recently had elections in which a populist Robert Fico won by not going to traditional media outlets and mainly advertising himself on social media. So that's why we're going to be talking a bit more about the importance of social media in political communication today. And we're also going to be discussing what other methods can be used to politically market in the current setting. Slovakia is currently on a similar path as Hungary is. Journalists are being repressed, institutions are being sort of taken down, and Robert Fico is making sure that anyone who was prosecuted before from his government doesn't get prosecuted ever again. Therefore, political communication and the efforts to maintain a democratic opposition are even more important than ever in the last 20 years. And that's why I'm very, very thankful and grateful that today we're going to be talking to a political marketer for one of the opposition parties, Martin Brúška. Martin, thank you very much for sitting down with us. Thank you so much for your insights. And please bring us a bit closer to the setting, current setting of the political communication in Slovakia. And if you could tell us a bit more how has the importance of social media evolved in the last couple of years?
Well, social media has completely changed and transformed the landscape of political communication. And all of the political meeting was primarily focused on like the regular medias, like for example, television, radio, newspapers. And these channels were completely disrupted by in creation of social media, even though in Slovakia it took a bit longer for these new medias to enforce in the grand scheme of political communication, it started to change the whole way of thinking how we look upon political communication. Because let's say 10 years ago, every politician had to go to different media outlets or to have a note in front of medias to tell them their message. And nowadays, they don't need this. They only have their smartphone and they can get their message to a broader scope of audience without actually using the traditional media like television, newspaper, or radio. So I think this is one of the biggest changes in the whole media and political communication. Actually, like allowing anyone with a smartphone to publish content and amplify their voice. However, this platform comes with some sort of challenges. Social media gives voice to the deserving, but also opportunistic actors. So it's kind of win and lose situation where you have to balance out the pros and cons. So this is like the main change that happened over the past 10 years in Slovakia and I think in whole world.
Do you think that politicians now feel that they don't even need the traditional media and that they truly basically replaced traditional media by social media?
I wouldn't say that they completely went far using traditional media. I think some politicians, if they want to reach out to some age group, they still have to use the traditional media. But in my opinion, this percentage is slowly decreasing year by year.
In Slovakia, it took a little bit longer for like social media to become that influential and more important compared to like other parts of the world. I was wondering, do you know why it took a little bit longer? Is it because of politics or economics or social differences?
Well, I think that in Slovakia it takes a bit longer for anything to actually enforce in traditional way of life, and social media wasn't the difference. I think it took just a bit longer than it normally would, but at the same time, I don't think Slovakia is unique in this. Many other Eastern European countries had a bit of slow start and then became a fully socially media active countries. So I don't think it's uniquely for Slovakia as it itself.
Then I would like to ask another similar question. Many of Slovak politicians stopped going or started boycotting political discussions in traditional media that were constantly viewed by hundreds of thousands of people, which is a big number. And yet we saw that these politicians basically won the election. So I'm wondering, can someone win an election today just by being on social media?
I think so, yes. I have a small, maybe unpopular opinion, and that is if you don't have social media, you cannot compete in politics. Currently, in this form and in this situation where we live in, you cannot compete with other actors without having a good social media team. I think it's just impossible. Just so I can answer or pick up on the topic you said about the media discussions. Well, why would you go to a media discussion where you can be asked critical questions? If you could actually take your phone and make a 15-minute video and put some money so you can target the ad more effectively. So I kind of understand why some of these opportunistic actors and politicians don't use traditional medias and discussions because it won't benefit them, only hurt them in a long run. So yeah, this is where we got right now.
Maybe my question is a bit more direct, but what do you think? How did the social media help to rise Fico back to power? Or Fico, sorry, that's a bit wrong. Fico back to power. Did it help him like present himself as a characteristic leader or like someone that you can rely on? And what kind of social media patterns maybe could you recognize in his actions? How did they use social media?
Well, the trend is a lot of democratically elected governments lost the election in this year due to really bad situation in whole world and mostly in Europe. We can talk about energy crisis, war in Ukraine, and inflation, and all of these aspects made the democratically elected government lose this year's election because the whole situation got worse, and some opportunistic and populist actors like Fico just used this in his rhetoric and pointed out like all of these bad things that happened all over the whole world are caused by these politicians in government. So for a lot of non-government actors, it was quite easy to use the crisis and the situation in their ways. So I think this was the main driver of Robert Fico's rhetoric and his campaign, just to point out on the bad things that happened in whole world, but he amplified the tone. So yeah, I think this was like the main way how he got back into the government.
Just to have a follow-up question on this one then, would you say that Fico could have achieved this? Fico could have achieved this? Sorry, I keep mispronouncing his name. So I could have achieved rising back to power using the traditional media, but highlighting the same messages that you just said. Like, could it be the case that social media then in this case did not play as much as a role?
In my honest opinion, he doesn't have the energy to go to the traditional media and to answer this critical thinking journalist who will ask spicy questions just to, well, get information. And I don't think he wouldn't be able. I think he would be able to do this even with the traditional media, but he doesn't have the need to do so.
If we stick to like social media platforms, do you think some social media platforms are more important than others when it comes to political communication? And I think it's also important to maybe like consider different age groups because I think when it comes to the older generation, maybe they're more active on Facebook. And when it comes to the younger generation, they're more active on TikTok or Instagram. So how do you kind of like deal with this, and which one do you think is more important, and how do you reach out to different age groups?
I think Facebook is like the main battleground for all over political communication and political battle in Slovakia. But after a recent data has published from, I think, Global Social Media Trends, it turned out the main media or social media in Slovakia isn't Facebook, but YouTube. Well, surprise, surprise, Robert Fico and his party Smer has over 90,000 followers on their YouTube channel, and even the older generation are more active on the YouTube just because it's easy media to consume. You don't have to read or think about anything. You just play a 15, 20-minute long YouTube video and bam, that's it. So I think everyone is kind of looking at Facebook and Instagram, but they are kind of forgetting about YouTube and how strong it is in Slovakia. So, yeah, of course, TikTok is great for the younger generation. But as we are seeing right now, the younger generation, mainly in Slovakia, aren't as interested in politics as they should be. So that's kind of a win-lose situation. And I think the main focus should be put on the YouTube. Currently.
In Hungary, I think it would be actually quite similar in many senses. There are many YouTube channels that are talking about politics. Politics is a really, or like public affairs is really important content for them. However, I wouldn't call them as political channels, that they are not tied to political parties. And my question is related to this actually. Is social media or like YouTube activity is about politics, is about is coming from the parties like Smer's and Fico's party is 91,000 followers, or there are other YouTube channels who are making political content yet not tied to any political party or organization?
This is actually a really great question because it's just my theory, but I think some political actors and some parties had started to create this form of ecosystem of channels and profiles that spread similar message to the main agenda of some political party, but they are not concrete, like connected to together, even though they are ideologically completely same. They are not connected in any way traceable. So this way of creating many different channels and profiles that spread your message without having the stamp of your political party could be a great way of spreading the narrative that you want to be spread.
Maybe to even add to that, we have even some evidence about some of these. They really call themselves like alternative news portals, such as Ereport, which
For
is
example.
now being given priority to ask questions to Robert Fico. So it is, and the founder of Ereport is Fico's, or was Fico's friend and marketer. who first helped him get to power. So there are some connections, although there are many times more difficult to prove or to show. But my question is it possible to fight against these alternative narratives that are created by these, let's call them fake media portals or like amplifiers of the political narratives in any other way than doing the same thing, but from the other side?
Well, if I had an answer to this question, we wouldn't be here where we are right now. But I think I'm trying to stay optimistic. I think there is a way. Just the people need some time to realize it. I know I might be naive, but I'm really looking forward to a point where these people will finally open their eyes and see. But this is really an activity for a long run to do. So I think so, yes, they could be beaten by, well, you could use actually a similar ways or similar channels. Just you have to stay ethical about the information that you are spreading. Just so you don't spread mis or disinformation or inform propaganda. So I think so, yeah, but you have to be really curious, particular information you want to share.
Thank you, thank you.
And when it comes to political communication, like either fake news or I guess the truer news, do you think it's more effective to center political communication about a specific persona or about a specific policy?
Well, in current post-factual era, there is some outweigh of importance on the politician itself. Well, you could see it in America, where Donald Trump has been elected as the next 47th president, that many of his voters don't actually know about his policies and don't know about many things he did. They just say that they think he means it with America in a good way. And this is not only in America, but also in Slovakia and many other countries where there's been some sort of cult of some persona, for example, in Slovakia, Robert Fico, that creates this image of social democrat that fights for the people and wants to help them. And this is actually a thing that many other actors and politicians should learn, because if we want to be the populist, we have to learn some ways and implement them in our communication and rhetoric. For example, populistic actors, they make us feel like they are listening to us. And I'm not saying they are actually listening, or I don't want to advocate for these people. I just want to say that people like to be heard and people like to be gotten. And if you can manage to make the voters feel like you understand their problems, they will vote for you, of course. And nowadays, you don't even need to have a plan or some sort of book of laws you want to implement. You just need to be influential. And well, in Slovakia, you have to show strength. And I think it's not only in Slovakia, but mainly in Slovakia. Since we've been post-socialistic country, we Slovakian people kind of need a strong hand that will govern the whole Slovakia. And this is why maybe some of the voters don't quite believe in liberal democracy, because it's some of a more community and communal governing system than wasn't communism or socialism. So A lot of people and voters in Slovakia, mainly the older generation, prefer a strong leader with communication centered around his persona than his policies.
To follow on the last question, I have another one, which is it still important to meet the real people like it used to be in the old era, or is it sufficient now to just stay in Bratislava or in the parliament and record videos on social media and pretend that you're a man of the people?
Of course, despite the rise of digital communication, I think the traditional campaign methods such as road trips and door-to-door conversation and town hall meetings remain irreplaceable. I think, for example, some parties had a problem with not having a traditional campaign. For example, the whole road trip across the country, and it hurt them in the campaign. And nowadays, you could actually combine these methods for like the road trip campaign and door-to-door conversations with social media, so you could inform a broader group of people and inform them that, for example, your or this political party is coming to your city. You can come and meet them. So I think, yes, the traditional campaign methods and meeting with voters in person is still irreplaceable, and it should stay in political communication and political campaigns, because this is the best way of showing the people that you are not some douche in Bratislava who doesn't even care about the problems of some grandma in a Martin or Brezno or Košice. So I think the meeting with voters is such an important thing to do that any party should be doing this, not only in campaign, but during the whole cycle.
Some would say the best food is on the countryside, so maybe experience that as well. But without joking, just to follow up one of your previous comments that's actually sticked in my head, that you said it seems like since TikTok is not as a relevant social media platform for news or political communication in Slovakia, it seems like young people are not as interested in politics as it should be. In the case of Hungary, there are two influencer groups, I would say, that are making political content. One of them is half entertainment, half actual news, and the other one is strictly political media news and interviews and stuff like that. And they are followed by hundred thousands of people, and many young people are some in occasions, if it's particularly big, even millions. If it's a big interview. And many of these people are actually young, like pretty young, in the range of like 15 to 22 or something like that. And I'm actually interested whether is there something similar in Slovakia? Like, are there independent channels who make political content, yet not political actors, and people follow the political news or political information on these platforms or on their platform?
Well, I think the main non-government actors currently are journalists who started to be more vocal on social medias, not only writing columns for traditional medias, but only speaking up on various platforms. And I think this is a good sign, and possibly a sign of a near change coming towards, hopefully. But yes, we have some channel that try to communicate political situation with jokes and humor, but we also have really traditional and more to fact-based journalists who also try to inform as many people as possible with their communication on social media. So yes, the trend is slowly rising, but we have to take a note into the, well, let's say, for example, the opportunistic and populist side, that they are also doing this. We, even with the use of misinformation and fake news and information manipulation. So, well, the traditional democratic and ethical side has to compete and has to be more vocal and more active on the social media, just so their voices and the narratives get spread as far as the other side's narratives. Because you have this sort of vacuum in social media, and you, if you don't mind the vacuum, someone will fill the vacuum before you, and you want your information and your narratives and your agenda to be in that vacuum, because, well, who does not? So, but paid insertion, it's currently one of the best ways to get your information to the audience that doesn't follow you or seemingly does not like you, or maybe just they just don't think they will like you until they will get an ad that will show you something.
What role do you think the creation of political memes play in political communication?
Well, great question, and I'm sort of a meme enthusiast and meme connoisseur, so I really kind of like the, and I will right now create my own word, memification of political communication, because the trend is everything is turning to a humor thanks to social medias. So I think some part of your communication as a political party or a group or a politician itself has to be somewhat connected to humor, memes, and jokes. Even though some age group won't follow and won't be really interested in this type of communication, there is a huge number of young individuals who will see this as a great way of looking at the trends and including these trends in your political communication and political rhetoric. So, yes, I think the humorous side has already come to political communication, and I'm actually happy about it because it's kind it is an interesting take on political rhetorics, and well, I'm just surprised and where this is going to end. So
I have to say, you should follow Hungarian politics. Our whole politics is just a meme. Even without social media, it seems like that.
it's really similar here in Slovakia. So yeah, we can definitely
I
we
would
can
assume
definitely
so.
relate.
I would assume so.
Do you think political memes lead to more well-informed citizens? Because of course it draws in more attention because they're entertaining, but at the same time, I assume they're not that serious. So I wonder how well they can portray the actual message.
Really a good question, because a lot of these channels and media platforms don't care about informing. And this is where we have to take a note and maybe a minute to set back and think about, are we doing this just so we can entertain people and so we can get reach and interactions on social media? Or are we doing this also to inform our potential voters? And this is what every party should take an eye on, so they are not only entertaining but also informing. And you can do this in many different ways. I think the video format currently is the best way, because the whole world is kind of going and demanding the video content just because it's easier. You don't have to have really a focus for listening or watching a YouTube video. So if you want to do this in a humorous way, you should also add some sort of informational pauses where you also explain the situation, not only entertain. So it's a thin ice that we are walking on, and you have to balance out the enjoyment from the jokes with relevant and insightful information that you will feed to those consumers of these memes or videos.
And on that note, I think that we can end this lovely podcast. Thank you very much, Martin, for sitting down with us today. Thank you for talking to
Excellent.
us, and we wish you all the best in your efforts.
Thank you so
Thank
much,
you very much.
and I'm really glad and honored to be in your podcast. Wish you just the best.